Okay, so we're back now, and we're talking about the what happens when you get into trouble, and the biggest trouble we ever got, the biggest trouble that came the fastest, which was, the question was, were you quick enough to figure it out, was the 87 crash. That that started out with 82 was a, just recount the events, the market declined from 80 to 82. Joe Granville was slinging this gloom and doom scenario. A lot of us were not of that ilk, because we knew that the dividends on stocks was on the S&P was like 7%, and the P/E ratio was very low. You could figure out that a person could at some point you had to take a chance. In all of these. In my green line going up, if you see something that looks to be good fundamentally or technically or T-theory wise, but preferably all three of them come together, you have to take a chance. And if the chance doesn't work out, you have to cut back. Okay. In the chart here, you'll see that it's not a logarithmic chart, so it's got a little bit of a problem there. But you can see that in 08, I got dipped back. Although I knew there was a bear market before we popped back up again. That's a case of trying to do hard assets three times. I tried it three different times because even though the market was going down, because you have to, if you think you see a chance, you have to take it. If it doesn't work out, you have to cut it back. But I did it three times. I did mining stocks, currencies, Swiss currencies, and basically it was hard assets in the oil type, oil and other commodity areas. Well, they weren't buying that story. Okay, they bought it in the 2002 into early 2003. They bought that story. And in the 73-74 bear market, they bought that story of hard assets, but they didn't buy it in this asset. And so what you do is you preserve yourself. Then we discovered the way to get out of it, and so we popped it up into highs. Okay, so you're supposed to do a better job than that. But your knowledge is always imperfect on that, and you can't just hide. The 87 crash, which is my next topic here, was a very interesting one, because what had happened is you came out of the 82 low, and everybody was giddy by the time you came up into 85, because the ones that guessed it right had made a lot of money, and they didn't want to give up on the story. And I had my megatees going from 82 to 98 as a bull market. So when you started acting toppy, it went into the end of, right into the exact end of 86, I think probably right around the 31st of 86, in a base pattern, and it looked like a good place to go, and went for it, and he says, and the market went up for 8 months into August of 87. The problem was, it was the first 3 months were great. Then it had a little correction, which was understandable. And then it went up, and the advanced decline line never fell. Well, we were in the advanced decline T business, you know, it's kind of be a negative. But because everybody was making so much money, nobody wanted to do anything. Then it rotated over, topped out, and you had the unusual decline, which was completely unusual, backwards. The more you started down slowly, but the more oversold the market got, the faster they sold it. And then we reached the point where we just withdrew the money, and you know, it finally got to be really bad. So what we would do is preserving the gains from the 8 month rally, and so we ended up being out, and then the market crashed. And when the market crashed, there are a lot of people that never came back to the market, or were permanently brain damaged from it, because in the last down day was 20%, was a little over 20%. So it would be the equivalent to us falling into a hole in which the last down day was like 2,500 points And it turns out to be a cute trick, because that was the bottom, you know. And as I say, people were permanently damaged. That problem, that's what happens when you run into the thing that never happens. Okay, people say that the what happens in the curve is some kind of a probability. The academics, they say it's a probability distribution, and they never allow for that kind of a sequence, and it's always deadly. It can be permanently deadly. Okay, 08 is another example of they thought everything was on a probability curve, and they had in the banking system, they didn't have a problem because they had an insurance policy with AIG, and he says they went in, the insurance company failed, and you have this once in a lifetime. Well, 87 to 08, so that's a 21-year differential. So, you know, if you think you're going to be an investor for 20 years, you're probably likely to see some of these things. And, you know, in the case of the people with the 401ks and so forth, they first of all, from 2000 on, they made no money to speak of. They got hit here, and now they have a rally that's beginning to look kind of fishy. Maybe it's going to go down, and they got this problem. But they're catatonic. They can't make any decisions. Someplace you have to back up and make the decision. And the decision, because it's going to be based on a picture that's you thought was right, but it's starting to crumble. You have to slide it out as you come down. Okay. The 87 crash is a sort of an interesting case, because when it was all over, what happened is that the 8-month gains going up from December 31st of 86 were completely wiped out, and then they took it 1% lower. And the 1% lower is the one that a lot of people threw the towel on. And even though it recovered in line with a long-range T that says you were going up from 82 to 98, which is a mega T, a lot of people never came back to the market, because they kept thinking that there was some gigantic trap here that they were going to get caught in. But as you went into the 90s, they got more comfortable for that, and they ran into the 2000 dot-com revolution peak, and then, like a lot of us, they got into real estate, and they ran into the 07 peak in real estate. So, you know, sometimes you're better off to just withdraw the money, go down, reestablish the fact that it's a bottom, and it didn't break. The one rule that you have to know about is if you're in a bull market, the lows carry higher. In the 82, you had corrections coming up to it. You had what you thought was a low in 86. At the end of 86, you had a run-up, and it crashed, but it just came back to that low. That's 100% retracement. Most retracements in a bull market are only like 50 or 60%. It's entirely possible that you're thinking it's just going to be a 50% retracement, and then you find it's 100%. In that case, it was 101%, because they came back to a little bit lower. But you have to allow for that, because what happens is that people get too giddy in a rally, and then the giddiness leads them to believe that they're invincible. But you're always in. But the basic rule is that they did not substantially break below the 86 low, and that if you're watching advanced decline, the advanced decline T that I have in my picture got that one right, but I wasn't watching that advanced decline T when that happened, so I have to tell you that. But by just coming out, we preserved the gains that we had in 07, and then when we got to the bottom, you could start to figure out it was making a bottom pattern, and it hadn't made more than 100% correction, and so we were able to go on to that. And that's what cutting back really does for you. It allows you to think of the problem. I said, oh yeah, it's only 100% for the bottom. So in many cases, when you get up and you see something that's fishy, it's just better to follow the Sinclair argument or anybody else's argument, and just to cut back, and then come back to the point where you can start to look at things in a rational way. Okay. So Arch Crawford and other people are pushing, and mostly they're Elliott Wave people, are pushing this crash scenario. Okay, so we know that in my short-term work that we started from, there's a double bottom low in the October-November time period. It went up and it died. And it's the same argument. Okay, if I'm going up into the May time period, I can't go below the previous low, which would be the center post of those T's. But there's two of them, so you have to argue that out. And unless they want to trick you, and you know, and all these people gang up on you and say you're going to die and you're going to get real emotional, and they give you a little pluck up. Better to take cut back when you're coming over and you don't like it from the arms ratio, or you don't like what's happening. But my case, for the month of January, you would see there was a problem. But at the end of the month of January, the bonds that were comprised 2/3 of the position were flat. Okay, the S&P was down 3.5, but you're starting to find that the various sort of international type funds were down 7 to 9%. Well, you should the answer is that they probably go up a little faster than the S&P, and they should maybe they come down a little bit faster. But that's when you see that what's happening is that the U.S. investors are starting to let go of the foreign stuff because they don't understand it. Okay, and so. Makes it easier. Sometimes the whole result of doing this is no net gain, but it just kind of calms you down because, as I like to say, people, you see, I have a record from 78 to the end of 09, and I didn't go insane in the whole period. And a lot of people did go insane in the total period because what they can't handle is they can't handle the flash things where you see the whole country's going down the drain. I certainly hope that I will be able to get to the point if my 40-year cycle is right and there's a depression down there, that I hope I can finish my career by not getting too caught up in that one too. But they always change the combination of the sequence of the events that you have to take to get you through the crash problem zones. One of the problems in 08 was that the reserve fund, which was one of the early and best known money market funds, got into trouble because they did some Lehman stuff in there that they couldn't get their price to hold the $1 even mark. And so when you go into the 2013 low, or maybe it's the 2016 low or something like that. You have this problem, what are you going to do about gold? Because we have a very bullish forecast for gold. And but every time you go down, the gold goes down. You can see that in this correction here. If you look at mining companies and the price of gold, it goes down. And so the question comes up, if you own gold and you're going to lose money in it, how do you overcome this problem of not being able to be forced out at a bottom when you really believe it's going to go up? I'll do that in a future discussion, but the answer to that one is that if you're going to go into something that's really, really big on the downside, you use the strategy, the best bond strategy is to use government long-term bonds, which are very volatile, but people will race to the when people get into trouble, the first thing they do is they race to the U.S., which causes the U.S. dollar to get strong. And because and the U.S. And the quote for gold in U.S. dollars then has to fall, and so you're losing money. But by coming into the bottom zones, into the U.S. dollar, they push up the price of long-term U.S. government bonds. If you go into a complete collapse, people like don't think U.S. government is going to do anything to stave off what is a disaster. For a weakened economy and so forth, you have to have some gold. You don't want the mining stocks because the mining stocks are associated with the jewelry business. And if you go into a hard time, they figure guys aren't going to buy good girlfriends a lot of jewelry, and so the mines are going to have a problem with the operating as a business and the earnings drive. So you have to go to GLD, which is the exchange trading fund, which says that you own 1/10 of an ounce. One share of GLD is 1/10 of an ounce of gold bullion, which is supposedly hidden down in some vault somewhere. So if you get into that, so what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to eventually come up with a strategy that combines U.S. government bonds, which are the first refuge point, but maybe they're not so ultimately very strong, with the gold bullion, but not the mining stocks. And so one of the strategies that we have to think about is that if this market, when we figure out what this bottom is here, We have a 10% position, and we have a long-term study that says gold is generally it's a good idea to have it, but in a bull, while investor quantities are bullish, it's better off to be in a mining company like Tocqueville, and then when you turn over, it's better off to be in GLD, which is just the plain metal, okay, because it gets rid of the complications and so forth. So one of the strategies you probably have to think about, and I might do some chart work up on it and put it down, is that when you go down here, and we seem to be mostly completed with the correction as far as the drop, the worst of the drop is over, except they don't know that little trick that's going to come at the end that wants to panic everybody because the loonies are all out trying to drum up traffic for their particular point of view. So what you could do, which I'm considering, and I'll show you the argument because to answer the Karen's question, is that if you thought you were going to have a rally into the early May, and then there's another one in late August, if you didn't cut back on the mining stocks, what you do is you just hold them and you just go through. But he said, but what you if you look ahead, you want the GLD. So what you do is if you can find a low here for the market, you can buy, say, if you had 10% in gold in mining stocks, you buy 5% in GLD. That's going to be a base position for the bear market. That's for the 2013 type place. Okay. And you buy it, and then when you go up to you rely on the T to carry you up into early May, short covering or whatever it is, or helicopter Ben Bernanke is going to throw out $1 trillion, and then everybody's going to say this is wonderful, and the shorts are all going to cover. Whatever the reason you get up there is, you get rid of the gold mining stocks, and then you start down on this road, which is you are and you modulate this position to the point that you're either going to use, you're going to have combined something which is GLD and government bonds, and the government bonds and the GLD covers the government bonds for the ultimate default, which you might see in the 2013-2016 area, or if you get runaway inflation because Helicopter Ben is throwing all this money out and you're depreciating the value of the dollar, well, the gold will pick up, and you have to establish what the ratio is. That's all it is. You have to establish what the ratio is. And then because there are surprises in that one, you always end up killing off whatever you would if you establish some ratio in the two, and then you find that you don't like one, and you have to kind of cut it back a little bit and so forth, and you go down that road. Okay, so right now what you consider to be as good is just the same stuff that went up in the bull market, and it's mostly a timing issue. You can get rid of that problem, and that's the way you go, and it's basically a modification to the best bond strategy where you add in GLD to it. And so that's what my story's got to be on that one. And so we'll just wind that up there and say that you think about it that way. And the real problem is you have a style, and the style is you have to. The important part about the style is you stop losses when you see something that's funny, but you don't go crazy. Okay, if you get the long term forecast, what you do is try to cut it back to the point where you gracefully degrade. You gracefully degrade. And then you'll find out later on, you find out a lot of this emotional stuff will pass, and you'll see the indicators, and you want to have the money available to take it up on the upside. But it is a very complicated question, and there really isn't one answer. There's different ways to do it. That happens to be my answer. But I'll be happy to go into what I'm doing in the latter part of the phase, which is the 40-year cycle, which is going to eventually come and cause the problem. That's it for today. I hope you found that to be a little bit different, but a little bit more informative than just doing the rules and so forth. Be back here next Sunday, and of course, after Tuesday's close, we continue to look at the short-term problem to try and find out where that low is. Bye-bye.